Hello and welcome back to Loving Yourself Completely. Oh, as always, it's me, Sarah, you know, just hanging out on my couch, drinking my coffee. I just took my son to school, and usually when I get home, I immediately go into cleaning. Like, I don't sit down, I don't take off my shoes. I am a surface cleaner when I get home, you know, just making sure everything's tidy and dishes are done, from breakfast is cleaned up, toothbrushes are put back where they need to be, make the beds, fluff the pillows on the couch. Like, that's just my morning thing, and usually it takes me about 20-30 minutes, which is not bad. And then I kind of do what I want to do for the day, but I have to have like a clean slate. And today I got home and did none of those things. I laid on the couch and I'm just kind of laying here. You ever just have those days where you kind of are zoned out and processing things going on, or, you know, maybe it's your mood for that week, or your, maybe, like for me, I think my hormones are off. I know, TMI. I think I'm just like a little PMS style. And so I have those days where I feel like this guilt or a little bit of anxiety. And I just have to remind myself, take it down a notch. Not everything has to be done. But I think I'm struggling today. Let me move my microphone here. I don't know if I'm being heard as well as I want to. Okay, I'm going to move myself because my microphone is not staying where I want it to. All right, anyways, so I was having a day today where I just felt like I was zoning out because I was just thinking so much about this episode and not wanting to hurt anybody with the episode. So the last couple weeks, as a mom, as a parent, as a guardian, you know, you ever hear that saying, you know, you want to give your kids the world, but you also don't want them to feel like they're, you know, that they're owed the world. You know what I mean? Like that just... And I've noticed in the last month or two, trying to redo my entire dynamic with my son has been harder for me than I thought it would be. So that's kind of where I'm at with this episode. Was, so I feel like we parent the way we wish we were parented. Or, I mean, I feel like people who want to do better do it that way. Of course, there are those people out there that are worse than their parents, or just like their parents, and they're not growing and they're not seeing the issue and they're not trying to fix the problem, or they don't want to address the problem. But I feel like if you're on this this podcast, you are wanting to fix any kind of, you know, you just want to do better. I don't want to down anyone or make it seem like what you're doing is not good enough or that we can do better. But as I was thinking about the way I parent, I realized, and my friends helped me realize as well, that it's not normal the way I process information as a mom. And that's been a tough one for me. And so while I was driving home from drop-off today, like, I didn't have the radio on. I kind of zoned out. You ever catch yourself a couple times? You're like, where am I? Like, is this my turn? I just really zoned out because trying to word correctly how to grow as a parent due to the issues you had with your parenting style when you were younger and that trauma that comes with it, how could your parents or people around you not be offended? But that's what I have to take out of this episode, is right off the bat saying no offense, but, and that's just how it's going to have to be for this episode. So this one's going to be a little deeper, a little darker, and maybe a little more talking about things that might be triggering for some. It's a lot of childhood stuff. So I really hope you listen, because I'm hoping the outcome of this will all make us be better people and look at us as better parents and better partners with more patience and understanding that it wasn't your parents' fault. understanding that it's not your fault, understanding that your child does deserve the world, but that it's not your job always to give it to them. So no offense, but here we go. First off, I just want to say the weatherman for my area should be fired. It has just started to pour rain. My app still says sunny and 77, and it's pouring and thundering and lightning. And this wasn't predicted at all. Same with yesterday. And you're like, I don't care, Sarah. What is the point of this? The point is, it pisses me off because I wasn't expecting it. All my windows are open. Anyway, so if you hear some thunder, that's where we're at right now. Anyways, I hope you guys all had an amazing week this week. My week so far has been decent, and I say my week, but it's like literally Tuesday, so it hasn't been that far, but I picture from the last time we spoke. And really, I've had a wonderful week. I'm one of those people that gets really excited for different seasonal changes. Do I like the seasonal changes for the weather? No. I wish it was summer all year long. Do I want to live in a warmer place? No, because it's too warm, too humid, too many bugs. But do I wish my summer here lasted a little longer and stayed like 75, 80 forever? Absolutely. So right now we're moving into fall. And so I got all my fall decorations yesterday, and I just love it. I love the colors. And then I was bored last night, and I don't know if you guys do this, but on your phone, like I have the iPhone, I redid like my cover photos and my wallpaper and my app pictures to where it's like all fall and pumpkins and coffee, and which is funny because, you know, you see all this stuff about like pumpkin spice, which me, I don't like pumpkin spice. I'm more like an apple pie kind of person. That's about the only fall thing you get out of me. So last night I'm like Pinteresting easy apple pie recipes because, so I'm a huge baker. I love baking. Like Brett wants to murder me all the time because we are both into fitness, but he has no self-control with my desserts at all. So I can stop myself. I have no problem stopping myself. I'll have one or two cookies and I'm good. Like cookie jar closed, done for. He will be in there every 10 minutes. He's like, you can't do this to me. So of course I was telling him, I was like, the one thing I never baked on my own, like from scratch, has been apple pie, which I love apple pie so much. I don't like the traditional crisscross crust. So I wanted the crumble topping, but I wanted to make it, you know, from scratch. That's how I like to do things. So all night I was up to like 1 a.m. Pinteresting recipes and taking pictures of recipes and adding it all to my cart for me to pick up today. But I love baking desserts, so I'm constantly baking. Like, so last week I did like Rice Krispie treats, but like Reese's version, you know, like mixing peanut butter and chocolate and doing like the drizzle and the M&Ms and, you know, the chocolate peanut butter. And then I love baking like homemade chocolate chip cookies. And sometimes after dessert, I just make, or after dinner for dessert, I like making s'mores. And just over the oven, I'll make us all s'mores and have a big plate of them in the living room. And I'm just a huge dessert person. So I don't know why I'm talking about this right now. But so my thought process was I wanted to make apple pie. I love fall. I just got done decorating for fall, and I had so many desserts the other day that I packaged them up and took them to my girlfriend. I'm like, get these out of my house. I need to start backing off the desserts because now we're moving into the season of desserts. You know, Halloween with the candy, Thanksgiving, Christmas, my son's birthday, my husband's birthday, so much cake. Like, and so I always slow down on my baking a little bit around this time because it's everywhere. There's junk food everywhere and I love it, but Brett hates me when I have too much of it. He's like, you have to get rid of these. Take these to, I almost said a name, but my best friend. I don't talk about people's names on here. I try not to unless you're like, hey, talk about me on there. Anyway, so she has 3 children, and every time she's like, oh my God, I can't believe the amount of sugar you brought here. The other day I took them a bunch of cupcakes. I'm like, get these out of my house. So I want to bake an apple pie tonight due to just the fall vibes I'm getting. And it's supposed to be cooler weather this week. So I want to wait for a day that it's cooled down to have my oven on for that long. And I'm just so excited. So that has been my week, just like wanting to get things done and prepared for this new season. Brett and I's 1 year wedding anniversary is next week, so we're chatting about that. And just, you know, spending time with just the people in your life that really matter to you. Brett is taking the day off on Friday and he wants to do some fun things and go out to lunch and just have an us day to where our son's in school. We don't have to get a sitter. We kind of have a day planned, and he loves his car. You guys know he loves his vehicles. So he's like, I'm going to clean up one of the nice cars and we'll just go ride around together and just hang out. And I'm like, yes, like just making that time for each other has been, it's just a wonderful thing. And when he thinks about that kind of stuff and kind of tells me, it does make me happy, because like we said in last week's episode that I have talked to so many of you about, loving your partner completely is all the way around, never letting it become routine, never letting that roommate status take over, constantly doing things maybe that you wouldn't necessarily think of unless you're in a relationship for a long amount of time. Like, what did we used to do that maybe we slowed down on or quit doing? Things like that. So yeah, that's kind of been my week this week. And also, so what I was speaking about earlier of this episode, what I want to really get into is last month or so, I've noticed my son, so my son will be 9 in December. I've noticed that I've done so much for him, so much. And not in a way that he asked me to do these things. I just do them because A, it might be convenient or easier if I do it, or I'm just home to do it, or I want to make his day so easy and wonderful for him, or his mornings. And like in the mornings, let me give you an example. Before school, like, okay, so I wake up at 7 so I can get myself ready. I can hang out with Brett before he leaves for work. I can drink my coffee in peace and quiet before the chaos starts. And then I wake him up at 7:30. He comes out and sits on the couch under a blankie. I get him all snuggled up. I turn on his favorite show and I start making breakfast. Fine, perfectly fine. I bring him his breakfast, his vitamins, his water. I get his clothes ready the night before. I make his lunch the night before. And they're all very normal things for my household, is me running around doing stuff. I'm very rare for me to sit down. I am constantly working on something. And to be honest, recording these episodes is the longest I sit down during the day. So when he's on the couch doing these things, or while I'm doing these things, I just don't think much about it. I'm just a mama. This is what I'm doing. And then the other day, I had my hands full when we were walking out. I had to go to work afterwards, so I was grabbing a bunch of stuff because I wasn't coming back home. Anyways, so I asked him, I said, hey, can you grab your backpack today? I have my hands full, because usually I will. I'll grab his backpack, and I just would make his mornings just literally the easiest I could possibly make them to start his day. Mainly because I had to track back why I think I do that. A, for the simple reason, is that he's always had rough school years, and up until this year he would cry of, you know, anxiety or bellyache or completely freak out on the way to school, and so I would really just try to make his day so easy. Long reason is I didn't have a parent who did that for me, and I always wished I did. So we'll get back to that. Anyways, so I asked him to grab his backpack, and he goes, what? I looked at him for a second, because my son is not disrespectful at all. Like, he's just the sweetest boy. But I guess I've never asked him to really do much for me. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, grab your backpack. I have my hands full. Okay. And I'm like, all right. Like, this is a child. Don't beat him. No, I'm just kidding. So then as I, again, I'm heading out the door and he has his backpack on, I said, hey, open the door for me. I have my hands full again, like open the door and then I need you to pull the door shut behind you. Oh my gosh, mom. I'm like, all right. Like, again, don't sell him. Like, he's just a child. So we get in the car and he goes, well, I hope you know that since I got my backpack and took it to the car, you have to get it when we get home. I have never, like, I think I have whiplash from whipping my head around at him. I was like, first of all, you're not going to tell me. Like, so we had the whole, like, mom had to be an asshole scenario. And we didn't talk the rest of the way to school because pretty much A to B, I told him, I don't want to hear your voice right now because you're a disrespectful little brat. And we're not having this discussion. You're going to do what I say, when I say, how I say. And we're going to knock this shit off real quick. Because if I were you 20 years ago, my mom's hand would have been across my face so fast, I probably would have lost my eyesight for a moment. So let's slow down a little bit because I can tap into that bitch mom mode really fast. You know, I think we all can. I think we love our kids. We want the best for our kids. But when we see them act in a certain way of what we see is wrong with a lot of society today and these disrespectful children, it puts an anger in me because I don't want my child to be one of them. And so I know that I have to tap into that really fast. So anyways, again, he's a great kid. What I'm learning is I didn't teach him, and that's on me. I didn't teach him to be responsible for himself or his items because I always was that for him. And I think that comes from so much of my childhood. I had to set my own alarm, you know, when I was in kindergarten, first grade. Like, my mom didn't wake up with me. And I had to, which, again, this is okay. I'm not saying this in a way to dig at any parents out there or any family. This is why I feel I am the way I am. And that's what we do on this podcast. We tap into why our actions equal what we do for our children, consequences, what we do for ourselves, the pressure we put on each other every single day due to how we grew up. And whether you want to admit that's where it comes from or not, that is a big part of why you parent the way you parent. So again, when I was younger than him, you know, I was getting up on my own and getting myself ready, making myself breakfast, which again, this is fine. I was doing all these things. I would have to, so there was a vent in my kitchen that like blew out heat, and all of us as kids, you know, you sit on these vents and you're still warm in the wintertime, but the vent is where I had to stand. I would be able to see right over to the next road to see my bus coming down that road, and I would go out, and I was told, and I hate to say trained, but pretty much I had to lock the door behind me and walk out. Because my mom was sleeping, so she was always like, make sure you lock that door when you go out to the bus because I'm sleeping. So, okay, fine. So that was my routine. And for the longest time, my mom did not think I was responsible enough for a house key. So I had to climb in windows when I got home, which how that equated. Anyway, so I would take a chair off of our deck, and there are these heavy metal green chairs. And like, I think if anybody's listening, like, you know what I'm talking about. Those ones that barely rock because they're so heavy. So I'd have to drag it off these stairs over to my window. And my window weighed about 1,000 pounds. Again, dramatic because I was little. It felt that way. Push this window open, slice my stomach apart, sliding past these old ass creases in the window and get in and drop to the floor. Like, these windows were high up. Anyways. And so I laugh because that was how I grew up. That's how a lot of people grew up. Like, I'm not saying this as I'm different from anybody. I know a lot of people from my generation grew up very independent because parents didn't know what in the world was going on, how to love a child correctly. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have other people putting in their opinions of why they should parent the way they should parent and why their child will turn out the way they're going to turn out if you don't do certain things, if you don't tend to certain emotions, certain needs, and if you don't listen, if you don't, you know, look what we've learned from even, I remember watching Super Nanny, you know, getting down to their level, maintaining eye contact. Like, I went out of my way getting older to learn how to be a good parent and to learn how to tend to those needs, because the girl I was, I mean, I just had journals and journals and journals of poems and notes and trigger warning right now, suicidal thoughts that I would write about because I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel wanted. I felt burdened. You know, speaking to my husband the other day, because we were talking about my son's birthday coming up, and I was like, man, it always sucks, you know, having winter birthdays. I have a winter birthday. Blake has a winter birthday. I said, but at least I'm here. He like looked at me and I was like, yeah, like usually us kids would come home, we'd get off the bus because our mom did work. I'm not, again, this is not a blame game. This is why I am the way I am, though. So I get to tell that side of my story. I would come home to like a card and a gift or something on the table, maybe like a cake, but usually I'd come home to an empty house. You know, the age gap in my family was strange. You know, by the time I was 11, my oldest sister was in college. My other sister was 16, 17. She was doing her own thing. And then my brother, again, was driving. So he was doing his own thing. The gap that we had going on, I was alone a lot of the time with my younger sister. She's 6 years younger than me. So when I was, you know, 11, she's 5. So I was caring for her a lot of the time, a lot of the time, overnight or late into the night, you know, midnight, 1 a.m. when my mom would get home from whatever she was doing after work. So a lot of me took on this responsibility so young that I didn't ever break free of that caregiver mode. And when I got older to my child, you know, I didn't want him to ever feel like an adult at his age, if that makes sense. I want him to enjoy so much of his childhood that when he looks back, he goes, my mom really did do everything for me to enjoy my life. And, you know, things like that. Or the other day, he, you know, since COVID started, we really haven't had a normal year until so far this year, you know, and that was in kindergarten for him when this started. He's in third grade now. Anyway, so I never got to do the fun parent stuff yet. You know, I didn't get to do field trips. We didn't get to do like go to lunch with your kid, like things like that. So he just got a field trip permission slip. And I asked the teacher, I'm like, are parents allowed to go? I have not gotten a response yet. But last year, I didn't want to send him on the field trip if I couldn't go. And it's hard for me. It's so hard for me because will he be okay? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I fight it. Again, my best friend and I were talking about this because she's like, let him go. Let him do these things. He needs to experience it without you. He's a good kid. He's responsible. He's not going to get lost. Nothing bad is going to happen. He's going to be fine. And I know that. I know I've raised a very responsible child and a very honest child and just very smart and savvy. So I'm okay with that. But it was funny because I told her, I said, if you knew the amount of times I was forgotten about or looked over, you would understand my fear for him, like that fear I have. And I think those memories do pop up. You know, I was the kid at school, in elementary school sporting events, that the secretary would stay till the end to keep the office open so I could use her phone to call and tell my mom, like, hey, you forgot to pick me up. Or, hey, like, so-and-so offered to give me a ride home. You're not here. Where are you? Like, we all just have very different ways we've grown up. And was I, you know, did I have the worst? No. Oh my gosh. Like I read stories of how kids and even you guys that will write in childhood things, that makes me cry. That makes my heart hurt. That makes me sick to my stomach that people could ever treat a child like that. I get it. But again, these are our own ways and reasons we parent. And so for me, with being even forgotten about, I, for the longest time, this is the first year that I haven't done it as viciously. I would get to school pickup, like to where I was like second or third in line because I wanted him to see me. But I had to remind myself and tell myself, Sarah, he doesn't know that fear of not seeing you. He's always seen you. You've always been there.
he's never looked out and like got that cold sweat of anxiety going, oh, I hope she didn't forget me. Because it's not even a thought for him. It wouldn't have been a thought for me if it didn't happen, you know. So again, just fighting with those insecurities and realizing that there's a drastic lack of parenting and then there's an over dramatic makeup for it. And I have to find that middle for myself. I think we all have to find that middle and making sure that the way we parent our kid isn't out of spite of how we were raised, but out of love for wanting them to have the best, you know, and just wanting them even now. So, you know, we all know that my relationship with my birth giver, I hate even saying mom a million times an episode. I don't want to be like, oh, you have mom issues. Welcome to the club. Like, I don't have that. I have the, I think I still have the anger a little bit. I never received that thoughtful makeup for it. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications for Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. Sorry about that. She apologized, but the follow through was never there. Do I think she's sorry? Do I think she wished she could do a million things different? Do I think she did anything intentional? No, I think she did everything she possibly could as a mom of five with a grandbaby halfway through, like working as hard as she worked. Do I think she did the best she could? Absolutely. 100%. My issue with her now is not anything to do with my childhood. Not at all. I forgive her 100% because I know she beat herself up more than anybody. And I'm past that. My issue now is, I don't trust people who take your pain or your struggles or your issues and they tell other people. When I can't trust you to hold my information, I don't need you. You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to do? Talk to you about the weather? Like, what is your purpose for me if I can't trust you? I wouldn't keep a spouse in my life if I couldn't trust them. I wouldn't keep a friend in my life if I couldn't trust them. What makes a person any different if they're your family, whether it's moms or siblings or cousins or aunts or uncles? If I don't trust you, there is nothing here for you. And that is not a hard connection for me to make. And sometimes I wonder myself, I think I've spoken to several of you about it, not feeling bad. I don't feel bad. This is a choice that you made and I'm not in charge of your choices. So who am I to feel bad for a choice you made? You know what I mean? So I did give so many people in my life so many chances, and we have all finally gotten to this place, so many of you as well, where it's okay with us that they're not here anymore. Because we have worked so hard on loving ourselves and understanding the respect we deserve that just kind of, we're like, okay, you didn't give it to me. Next, like moving on now. So I think that's a really good thing for us. And it's not to put blame on people. It's not to attack people. It's not to say I'm better than you. It's not to say you're a bad person. It's to simply say, I have an expectation in my life and that's okay. You don't meet it, but that's where our chapter ends together. You know, that's okay that you live a different life than me. That's okay that you speak a different way than me. That's okay that you have different expectations for your friends than I do. That's okay. That's okay that we parent differently. You know, even my girlfriend and I, when we're chatting about, you know, even the field trip thing, and she didn't understand where I was coming from, but she respected it. And she said, I get that. Can I counter offer something else to help you? You know, and that's when she builds me up and reminds me that even when I am so hard on myself and not wanting to make a mistake, that we are just human. And my kid needs to see me as just human sooner than later. Because I feel like when we realize or when I realized that my mom was just human, not a superhero, not somebody who made zero mistakes. That was a harder process for me. And I was in my 20s, like late 20s, when I realized like my mom does make mistakes, and I have been forgiving her for way too long of no apologies for those mistakes, and her just glossing over it and calling 2 or 3 years later going, how are you been? How you doing? Like, that's not how this works. You fucked up. I am owed. No, I deserve an apology. Just like how I want to be with my son. You know, we've talked about this before. When you mess up, apologize. It doesn't knock you down a couple pegs. It doesn't lose respect. It gains so much more. And when we're raising our kids and when we're trying to do better than what we had, that's a big deal. It's a big deal owning up to what you want them to be when they mess up. You know, even like I'm talking about my son and realizing that I have to stop doing so much. So lately I've been having him pick out his own clothes for the night before, packing his own lunch. You know, he insists on taking lunch. You're going to pack lunch, you know, and carrying his backpack to and from the car. In the first couple of days, was he annoyed? Was he like, he actually cried. He goes, I used to be so lucky. And I didn't appreciate it. And I'm like, calm down. This is not a death sentence. Like, you're carrying your backpack to the car. Like, kids are so dramatic. Anyways, so realizing that the hard things are good for them, you know, but keeping it as hard things for a child, not hard things to a child that are for adults, you know. Another childhood thing for me was money. My family constantly feared of money and losing our home and the lights being shut off, not having food in the house, constant fear of that. And that was not put on me to like come up with money, but I was told about it at a very young age. So me and money, I have this fear of it. Like, I have a fear of not having money. So I, from a young age, started saving and doing all these random off the wall things of extra things. And then when, you know, my son was born, realizing, you know, after for school stuff, like I had to be very strategic in my work. I told you guys, I started like getting certified for all these things and doing all these things and doing podcasts and doing social media and doing training, and I took up photography, and I bought, like, I just do all these things because of my fear of ever going back to being scared of losing my home or having my lights shut off or my son not having food in the house. You know, that would break my heart. The amount of times like I would cry to my family or whatever that I was hungry, I don't ever want my son to do that. So again, I would like make up for it over the top. So what we're doing, making up for our family tragedies, pretty much, it's a happy medium that we have to find. And I have to find that myself. And so many of you and I have been chatting about the love we still have and respect we have for our parents. So much doing it all on your own with no help, with no, you know, Facebook mom group, with no, you know, researching and looking it up. Look, Google came out when I was born. When I was a teen. So my parents had none of that. They had no extra help. They only knew what they knew. So there is no blame there. I have no anger there at all. I wish that they didn't have to carry that guilt, because I know that now, since they see so much, they know how they parented was wrong. And I've received so many apologies about it. And that's amazing. So kudos to all the older generation. I say older, but really like 50s, 60s, that parented without help. That even, you know, that were raised a certain way or abused a certain way and tried to do better for your kids or still made mistakes but owned up to those mistakes. Like, that's amazing. But what we're trying to fix now has nothing to do with you, even if we have to address what was done to us by you. It has nothing to do with you at all. We just have to figure out a way that the way that we have to navigate now our parenting style. So when you guys would ask me, you know, having issues with your guardian or your parents or who raised you, and they would say certain things to you about how you were raised and, oh, you turned out fine. That's the famous thing, isn't it? Oh, but you turned out fine. Look how you turned out. Oh, you're not damaged, blah, blah, blah. I am. I listen to Loving Yourself Completely. I'm working on my toxic traits every day. Oh my God, I'm so kidding. Yes. So working on those things and figuring out that take a look at the way you parent sometimes, and those things stick out to you. They stick out to you of what you're overachieving in and what you're doing, just basic parenting style. Just like mine, what stuck out to me? The fact that my son didn't move out from under the blankets until it was time for him to get dressed and brush his teeth to go to school. No, thank you. I was overachieving in that due to my lack, you know, me showing up first in school pickup line. Because I didn't want him to fear me not being there, you know. Same with him going on field trips. I didn't want somebody to forget about him. Nobody's going to forget about him. So I'm like my own therapist voice in my mind of everything, you know. Me making sure that he has like an amazing dinner and dessert and amazing cooked breakfast, not just Pop-Tarts. And, you know, when he's sick, that I don't just, you know, shove Sprites and crackers at him and like, you can sleep in my bed and I will check on your fever. Like, but I was overdoing it. Crackers and Sprite didn't hurt me as a child. It was the lack of worry that made me sad, that I would cry in bed because I was so sick and I wouldn't be checked on, you know? So I had to go, okay, Sarah, you literally, like, I won't sleep at night when he was sick. I wouldn't go to sleep out of guilt that I had to start telling myself, it's okay. You can sleep. Like, you know, he's sick. You're with him. You're not leaving him alone. So finding those middles. And if you do still blame your parents, that's okay too. That's okay. I don't want any of you to think that just listening to this going, oh, so I have to forgive them because they didn't know any better. No, not at all. Even if they didn't know better, it's okay if you don't forgive them. That is 100% okay. Just because you didn't have it worse than somebody else doesn't lack their blame either. Like, so many people go, oh, yeah, maybe, your mom forgot you every once in a while, but did she, you know, beat the shit out of you? Well, no, but this was my form of abuse, you know, different forms of abuse, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally. And my mom did whoop my ass so much, so I can't say that either, which is funny because she'll joke. Well, it's not a joke, but she used to say, you and your sister are the only ones I have to beat the shit out of. And that made me so sad because there was five of us, you know. And I'm like, why do you have to be so mean? Like, you know, the belts and the spoons and, or yeah, wooden spoons I got broke over my ass. I mean, there was a day I couldn't go to school the next day because I couldn't sit at my chair. Like, but hey, you never hit my other two sisters or my brother, but me and my one, like, we deserved it. Like, fuck you. And that's okay to say that. That's okay. It's okay if you don't want to forgive them. It took me a long time to see my mom as human, like, and not like superwoman that knew everything and all her decisions were right. So when I seen her finally as just me, when I think when I got to around her age she was when she was doing these things, when I was born. So she had me at like 28 and I'm 32. So I'm like seeing things and I'm going, oh my gosh, by my age, she had 4 kids going towards a 5th in a couple of years. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine the pressure, the struggle, the fear, the anger, and everything that came with it. Because she got divorced, you know, when I was, I think, 2. So she was navigating this all on her own. So I didn't carry that resentment anymore. What I was looking for was the makeup of it. I'm not looking for you to like shower me in gifts or treat me, you know, the best or whatever, but just the, you know, you look for, now you know better. So are you doing better? Unfortunately for me, it was no, but I don't have that anger anymore. And we don't have to carry that with us. We don't have to parent differently just because we have a fear of our child feeling a type of way about us. We're already doing better simply because we worry about it. My biggest fear is raising a child that's not adequate enough to maintain a life in the real world. That's my fear. Not everybody's going to cater to him. Not everybody's going to get his lunch ready for him. And I'm doing him a disservice by continuing that. So this is the perfect age to stop. He's 8 years old. You absolutely can make a lunch. You absolutely can fill up your water bottle for school the next day. You absolutely can pick out your clothes. You absolutely can get your towels before your shower and remember that it's, you know, what to wash that day. So giving those small responsibilities is a huge step for me these last couple weeks, because seeing him just blossom into being more confident in his choices is amazing. And it's a good feeling as a parent. Allowing your child to have a little more responsibility is a good thing. It's a good thing. And so many of us want to bubble wrap our child because we struggled processing emotions as adults. We weren't shown how to. Learning that is a great feeling. It's invigorating. It's, you know, just people who don't change their mindset 5,000 times in a lifetime are really missing out, because it seems like every month I'm looking at things in a new light, differently. The person I was 2 weeks ago, I don't recognize, because I want to be better. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better friend. I'm still finding faults in myself because I will never be perfect, but I will work my entire life to be the best that I want to be. And even if I get to the age of 90 and I still notice flaws, I'm still going to work on them. And that's what I want us to do. That's this whole reason that we do these episodes, is it's a constant work on things. And I love that about us. Like, I love when you guys write in and you go, my relationship was this way and I wanted it to be this way, so I took these steps to do this way. Amazing. I was parented this way. I was raised this way. I raised my son this way, but I want to raise him this way, so I'm working on it this way. Like, reading these emails of noticing where it started, noticing your problem, noticing your solution, putting in the efforts and the steps to that solution, and then going, and it was amazing. Because there is no fault, there is no screw-ups, there is no lack of energy when it comes to bettering yourself. There's no mistakes. It's just being better. How amazing is that? Like, let that sink in. Just give it a minute. There's no mistakes in bettering yourself. Because you're always better than you were the day before. Like, crazy. So no matter how bad you think you're screwed up, no matter how lost you think you are, no matter how many mistakes you think you've made, as long as your goal is to be better, you notice the problem, you come up with a fix, a solution, or a step towards that goal, you are better and you are winning. Okay? So as we come to the end of this episode, I don't know if my family listens to my podcast. I don't even know if they know about it. I'm going to be 100% honest. I mentioned it like twice in the 3 years I've done it. I hope that they know. I don't hate any of you at all. I have like an outpouring love for my entire family. I just need to do better for myself and my heart. And loving you all from a distance is the best thing for my heart. I love your smiles. I love your children. I love your parenting. I love who you are. But I have to love who I am a little bit more. And keeping my distance allows me to do that. Trying to keep up with certain things, it's damaging to me. Trying to maintain certain composure to make sure that my life isn't a laughing stock because I'm judged so harshly, I have to be very careful, because then I might judge myself. And I don't want to do that negatively. If I ever look at my life, I want to do it to make it better. So to everybody who's not sure what to say to their family, loving them from a distance, that's okay to say. You don't want anything bad to happen to your family. You just want to make sure that what you're doing with them, around them, in the whole aspect of family is healthy for you. And if that is just seeing them on Facebook or not asking questions, that works too. And it might not always be like that. You might become a person who is allows them back and is strong enough to handle that stuff. But until you get there, or until you know, just be careful. Just be careful. You know what you can handle. And nobody else is allowed to tell you differently. They can say you're ridiculous or dramatic or too sensitive, or that you need to just get over it. They don't get to make those choices. I just want to tell you guys that. Nobody gets to tell you to just get over things. Ever. And if they do, get rid of them. I'm sorry. Love them from a distance. People who say those things really get a nerve. They get on a nerve of mine that is instant trigger for fuck you. Like, seriously, like, we get one life. We have one life. You fucked up. You don't get to tell me how to heal from that. So you get over it. Anyways, so again, take a look at things, and so many of you with your parenting styles, I'm glad we're talking about this because we all have it. Don't look at anybody and think that everybody's the perfect parent. We all have goals we're working on with our children. I think we're all amazing parents because we care so much. When we go to bed at night, we think, could I have done more? Could I have done better? I'm going to love them harder tomorrow. Or even me some days, like this morning when I dropped them off to school, it was kind of a rough morning. We kind of bickered a little bit with him getting his stuff together. This is still new for us. And so when he got out of the car and I told you guys, I just kind of zoned out on the drive home. It truly was like I felt this guilt and I wanted to turn around and go get him and call him out early and just have a day. And then I thought, you know what? It's okay that he has hard days. That's okay. We have to stop trying to take control of our children's emotions. And same with, you know, so my biggest thing is trust and not gossiping. So I catch myself lately as he's coming into his own person. Like he has things going on and not telling people about it. I'll ask him, hey, do you care if I tell grandpa about this? Do you care if I tell granny about this? And he'll go, no. Or he'll say, yeah, you can. But I ask him, and just having that respect that he is his own person, not talking about him in front of him to others, respecting that. I used to post little funny things he would say on Facebook, and then I was like, oh, slow down on that. I have to be careful on this podcast that I don't say too much that he would find that it tapped into his personal, private life. So just being careful. Being aware that our children are not just clones of us, they're their own selves, and that we are not responsible for how they take on this world. We can only guide them. So, all right, go leave a rating, go leave a review. I don't know what's going on Apple. I've had so many of you reach out to me about it. I don't know. I am not in charge of Apple, but Apple Podcasts is cutting off half my titles. It's irritating me. It's only had like 15 or 16 episodes on there. So I don't know what's going on with that, because we all know I have more than that in episodes. maybe try Spotify. Anchor is another good one. There's several others. I'm on like 10 different platforms. So I will post, I'm going to get all those together of where you can listen at if Apple continues to not post all my episodes. Either way, go leave a rating and a review. It keeps my show going. And then let's follow the new Instagram page. I did leave it private, so everything is private and nobody can really see anything. Go follow. And what else was there? Oh, write into lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com, because chatting with you guys is the best part of my day. I am getting some fun episodes together and they're going to be a little spicy. So enjoy that coming soon. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your relationships. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your children. They're amazing. You're amazing. Have a great week. Bye.